Conscious Release, through Warner Brothers, a Warner Communications company, a Rollins, Joffe, Mora, Bresner production.
Once in your life, you find her, someone who turns your heart around, and next thing you know, you're closing down the town.
Dudley Moore, Liza Minnelli, John Gielgud in Arthur. An elegant cream and brown Rolls Royce travels through New York at night. Geraldine Fitzgerald, Jill Eikenberry, Stephen Elliott, Ted Ross, Barney Martin, Thomas Barber. Riding in the back of the Rolls is a friendly-looking bloke with disheveled brown hair, Arthur Bach. He wears a dinner suit and a top hat and has a glass of whiskey in his hand. The Rolls drives up by a couple of hookers.
Girls, girls, girls. Girls, girls, girls. Hello, girls!
They just stare at him.
Would the more attractive of you please step forward? Come on, actually, you're both very attractive. Would the one who thinks I'm attractive please step forward? Quick as possible, time is money.
What do you have in mind?
VD. I'm really into penicillin. That's funny! Actually, what I had in mind was spending the evening with a stranger who loves me.
It's gonna cost you $100.
Oh, yeah? What time do you get off work? I'm kidding. Let's make it $200, but I will ask you to Simonize my car. Tell me, has there been a death in your family? This is funny stuff.
One of the hookers gets in.
Let's go.
Bitterman, give her friend $100. She came in second.
Bitterman, the chauffeur, gets out of the Rolls.
Who is that guy?
I'd rather not say.
I think I know who it is. I saw his picture in the paper. That's Arthur Bach, isn't it?
Oh, what if it is?
Is there something wrong with him?
Bitterman looks thoughtful.
Yes.
When you get caught between the moon and New York City.
Music by Burt Bacharach. Arthur's theme, Best That You Can Do, performed by Christopher Cross.
Permit me to introduce myself. Where the hell's my hat?
It's on the floor.
Oh, I hate it when that happens. I am Arthur.
I'm Gloria.
I am Arthur.
Yeah, what are you drinking?
Scotch. Would you like some?
Why not?
You're with me and you can ask that question.
Gloria drinks a scotch on the rocks.
Sometimes I just think funny things.
What do you do for a living?
Oh, I race cars, I play tennis, I fondle women, but I have weekends off and I am my own boss. Bitterman, the plaza.
Ooh.
I step on it.
Sir, if I may say so.
Bitterman, go through the park. You know how I love the park.
Can I have another drink?
Yes! Isn't this fun? Isn't fun the best thing to have? Don't you wish you were me? I know I do.
They drive through the park. Director of photography, Fred Schuller. Produced by Robert Greenhut. Written and directed by Steve Gordon. Bitterman pulls up outside the Grand Plaza Hotel. The concierge opens the car door and Arthur falls out.
Ow!
Oh!
Isn't that Arthur Bach?
Bitterman and the concierge pick Arthur up.
I'll fell out of the goddamn car! Is that the funniest thing ever?
Are you hurt, sir?
Bitterman, I'll fell out of the car! Isn't that the funniest thing ever?
You had to be there, right? Yeah.
You are quite amusing, sir.
Look, please get my drink. After all, we're going to the bar. Thank you so much.
In the dining room, Gloria, who wears red satin skin-tight trousers and a low-cut blue vest top, comes face-to-face with a waiter.
Madame, I'm sorry, but we have absolutely
no... Don't give me any stuff, Buster.
Raymond, Raymond. It's all right, the lady's with me.
Oh, Mr. Park,
yes.
How good to see you.
Oh, if only someone I knew felt that way.
We have your regular table, Mr. Park.
I know you have it, but is anyone sitting at it? Is anyone sitting at it?
Arthur swigs his drink.
Yeah, no, it's all right. They used to see me with the turtle. Uncle Peter and Aunt Pearl.
Arthur, you're looking well.
Thank you. Oh, Aunt Pearl, may I say you're looking younger every day. Doesn't Aunt Pearl look wonderful, darling?
She looks great.
Arthur, I don't think we've had the pleasure of meeting this young woman. Would you introduce us?
Oh, that's stupid of me. Princess Gloria, may I introduce my aunt and uncle, Peter and Pearl Barr?
How are you?
Princess? Did you say Princess Arthur?
Yes, yes.
He leans to Pearl.
There's a very small country in the West Indies. I mean, small.
I see. Thank you.
Yeah. It's terribly small. Tiny little country. Rhode Island could beat the crap out of it in a war. That's how small it is.
Small?
Very little. It's 85 cents in a cab from one end of the country to the other. I'm talking small.
We understand it's small, Arthur.
They recently had the whole country carpeted. This is not a big place.
We understand that it's small, Arthur, and we also understand that you are very drunk. So why don't we meet again when you're sober?
Yeah, all right, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Grow up, Arthur. You'd make a fine adult.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say. You haven't got 50 pairs of short pants hanging in your closet. Oh, it's the regular table. Wait a minute. Regular chair.
Arthur sits facing Gloria.
So, how rich are you?
All I can tell you is I wish I had a dime for every dime I have. God, service here is terrible. Where the hell's my drink?
We just ordered.
That's always their excuse.
He grabs a phone.
Engine room, where the hell's my drink?
Are you married?
There's only one woman for me, and I can't stand her. Her name is Susan. I can't tell you her last name, because that would be indiscreet. Johnson. Susan Johnson. My father wants me to marry her, but I'm not going to. You're the only woman at this table. Oh, sure, you bring her a bottle, me, you bring a glass. Fine, thank you very much. Our waiter's wonderful. You ask them for things, and they bring them.
Arthur tops up his drink.
Same principle as Santa Claus.
He drinks from his full glass of scotch.
Now, tell me about yourself.
You mean, why I'm a hooker?
Are you a hooker? I forgot. I just thought I was doing great with you.
Chewing bread, she stares at him.
Do you like me?
You're cute.
I know that. But do you like me?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Princess, we're gonna have fun. Tonight is New Year's Eve. Third time this week. Here's to you.
They toast.
Noisy.
A toy steam train hurries along a track and into a tunnel on a vast model railway setup. Barriers come down. The train rushes past them and over a bridge. The railway is set up in Arthur's bedroom. Arthur and Gloria lie asleep in bed. He twitches in his sleep. Gloria, who has thick, brown, curly hair, wakes and looks round at the model railway, then at Arthur. Gloria leans over to Arthur and puts her arm around him. He wakes up, leans round, and switches off the railway. They wrap their arms around each other.
Hello, darling. Good morning. Did you sleep well?
Fine.
Good.
A suited man with a tray.
Please stop that.
Hobson, how good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Not at all.
I've taken the liberty of anticipating your condition, and I've brought you orange juice, coffee, and aspirins. Or do you need to throw up?
No. Gloria, I'd like you to meet Hobson, my best friend in the world.
I relish the compliment. It's thrilling to meet you, Gloria.
Hi.
Yes. You obviously have a wonderful economy with words, Gloria. I look forward to your next syllable with great eagerness.
Tall, balding Hobson goes and draws the curtains. Daylight floods in.
Yes. As we can all see, it's a lovely day, which would seem to indicate that the night is over. Gloria, I have arranged breakfast for you on the east patio.
He holds up a pink robe.
This is a robe. Please put it on. Say goodbye to her, Arthur.
Gloria walks off down the street, counting a handful of money. In his cluttered living room, Arthur sits in a throne-like chair in his dressing gown. He hands a newspaper to Hobson, who's standing beside him, and reads one himself.
Hobson?
Yes?
Do you know what I'm going to do?
No, I don't.
I'm going to take a bath.
I'll alert the media.
Arthur folds up his paper and stands. He picks up his top hat and faces Hobson.
Do you want to run my bath for me?
It's what I live for.
Arthur puts on his top hat and walks off. Hobson sits in the chair and continues reading the paper. In his palatial bathroom, Arthur lies in a bubble bath with his top hat on his head.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He flicks a switch on a control panel.
Yes?
Hobson, this is Arthur.
Yes, how delightful to hear from you.
How about a pitcher of martinis?
No, thank you.
Oh, Hobson, I'm not going to face my father sober. If you don't bring them, I'll have someone else do it.
I'll bring them.
Thank you.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye. He treats me like a kid.
He flicks another switch. Model trains rush along the tracks. Hobson walks into the bedroom and switches the train set off. He carries a tray with a cocktail shaker and a martini glass on it into the bathroom.
He knows when you've been bad or good.
Hobson puts the tray on the side of the bath.
You know, Arthur, your father is going to demand that you marry Susan.
I don't care what he demands. Oh, stay with me a minute, Hobson. You know, I hate to be alone.
Yes, bathing is a lonely business.
Except for fish.
I beg your pardon? Did you say except for fish?
Yes. Fish all bathe together, although they do tend to eat one another. I often think fish must get awfully tired of seafood. What are your thoughts, Hobson?
Pardon me.
Hobson walks round, takes Arthur's top hat off his head, and gives him a slap.
Arthur.
Hobson sits.
I don't want you to be alone.
I'll never be alone. I have you. God, isn't life wonderful, Hobson?
Yes, Arthur, it is. Do your armpits.
A hot bath is wonderful. Girls are wonderful.
Yes, imagine how wonderful a girl who bathes would be, yet dressed.
Bitterman stands by the rolls, which is parked on a street. A sign on the stone facade of an office block reads, Bach Building. Arthur and Hobson sit in a waiting room.
I hate it here.
Of course you hate it. People work here. Here, read this magazine. There are many pictures.
Why can't nobody ever smiles here? Why doesn't anybody ever smile here?
They smile at lunchtime. Lower your voice, Arthur, and sit up.
Wearing a cream suit, Arthur sits up.
Stop being so nervous. Later on, we'll get ice cream.
A receptionist behind a desk.
Mr. Clark, your father will see you now.
Thank you. Come on, Hobson.
He wants to see you alone.
Oh.
Arthur goes into a grand office. A businessman looks at Hobson.
He gets all that money. Pays his family back by being a stinking drunk. It's enough to make you sick.
I really wouldn't know, sir. I'm just a servant.
Yeah.
The press has a good time with you, Arthur.
Arthur's father, Stanford, looks at press cuttings.
Millionaire drunk playboy.
Arthur gets a drink.
You're the weakest man I've ever known. I despise your weakness. Arthur, I'm afraid we have to talk.
I'm not going to marry her. I've told you that 1,000 times.
Fine. If that's your decision, Arthur, the family has no choice. I'm sorry, Arthur, very sorry. But as of this moment, you are cut off.
You mean cut off from you and grandmother and the family?
Stanford shakes his head. Arthur frowns.
So you mean cut off from You don't mean cut off from the...
The money, Arthur. Your grandmother and I have had all the papers drawn up. We want this marriage, Arthur. I want it. Bert Johnson wants it.
Bert Johnson? He's a criminal.
We all are, Arthur. And as you know, we usually get what we want.
Well, frankly, Father, I'd rather starve. And I will. I get married when I fall in love with somebody.
Fine. I respect your integrity. You've just lost $750 million.
Actually, Susan is a very nice girl.
Very nice. And she'll make a wonderful wife.
Yes, wonderful. Have you ever seen her face when the light catches it just right? She's really quite beautiful. Of course, you can't depend on that light.
The wedding is a month from today. The invitations will be mailed tonight.
Have you ever tasted her chicken? She does spectacular things with a chicken. I love a chicken made at home.
Arthur, this is the ring your grandfather gave to your grandmother. She wants you to give it to Susan.
Arthur, hold it up.
This is to marry one girl. Please don't do this to me, Father.
Arthur, I've been waiting for you to grow up. I can't wait any longer.
Congratulations, Father. You win.
I had every intention of winning. Congratulations to you, Arthur. You're going to be a wealthy man for the rest of your life.
That's all I've ever wanted to be.
In Bergdorf and Goodman, Arthur and Hobson stand at a counter facing a saleswoman.
I'll take 3 dozen of these shirts, assorted colours. I hate my father.
Then purchase 4 dozen.
4 dozen, please. And I want 14 of these sweaters, all green.
All green?
I don't wear sweaters. Send them to my address, will you?
Arthur looks round.
What else can I buy, Hobson?
He watches a woman wearing a yellow coat, a red cowboy hat and shades stuff a tie in her shoulder bag.
Hobson, do you see that?
Yes.
She stole that tie. It's a perfect crime. Girls don't wear ties. Although some do, it's not a perfect crime, but it's a good crime.
Yes, if she murdered the tie, it'd be a perfect crime. Why are you so happy about all this?
The man following her is a security guard. You've got to be calm. Such a beautiful Jesus.
May I ask, what have we to do with this?
Arthur and Hobson watch captivated. The woman glances at a display of sweaters, then walks over and examines the sweaters on the counter. The smartly dressed security guard casually follows, a few steps behind her. The woman strolls out of the store and walks down the street. The security guard follows her. Arthur and Hobson follow the pair of them. The security guard jogs up to the woman and takes out an ID badge. Arthur and Hobson stand nearby watching.
Beg your pardon, miss. I'm the security guard in the store.
Yeah? Trust me, you don't need the badge. No customer would wear that jacket.
Hey, miss. Hey. I'm afraid I'm going to have to look in the bag. I saw you put something in it.
She takes off her shades and looks at him indignantly.
You got trouble, mister. Never going to work on the East Coast again. Okay, what's your name?
She's
sensational.
She does have a certain Eleanor Roosevelt quality.
Chester, what's your address?
Miss...
Give me the address, Chester. I want the address. I'm
Look,
not fooling around
I
here.
I saw you put a tie in that bag.
What did you say?
What's going on?
All right, that's it. That's it. I want a cop. Somebody give me a cop. I need a cop. Don't you move from where you're standing, Chester. I don't want to see you move out of my sight. Get me a cop! Get your hands off me!
Chester... I'm Arthur Bach. I'll straighten this out.
Hello, Mr. Bach. You really should stay out of this.
Yeah, well, he's in it, Chester. Tell him, Alfred.
I know this young woman. In fact, we were shopping together.
Right. Where the hell have you been?
I'm sorry, darling. I got caught
up. You mean she's a friend of yours, Mr. Bach?
He just said that, Chester. You're such a schmuck, Chester.
I asked her to pick out a tie for me, and I was going to put it on my brother's shirt counter.
And you didn't pay for it?
I know. I forgot. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, Chester, what can I say? I had no idea.
May I look at the... tie?
Of course.
A crowd watches as she takes the grey tie from her bag.
Oh, God, that's
hope you like
lovely.
It.
You're really wonderful.
He gives her a big kiss. She grabs his shoulders.
Not in front of all these people, dear. They might think you're an animal.
Mr. Bach, you understand it's my job.
Would you ask the lady at the shirt counter to put this on my bill?
Oh, of course. I'll take care of it, Mr. Bach. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Smiling, Arthur studies the tie thief, an attractive young woman with wide eyes and dark brown hair cut in a fringe.
Are you scared?
Yes. Why are you smiling at me like that?
She looks between him and Hobson.
I see. You're a little strange, but cute. How are you? Well, have a nice day. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to the bus stop now.
She walks off holding the tie.
Why did you steal that tie?
I don't know. I'm a wonderful person. I'm serious. I'll be with you in a minute. It's starting to get on my nerves.
She glances at Hobson.
Will you stop smiling at me like that? You look like one of Santa's helpers.
She looks at Hobson.
See what does?
My name is Arthur, and this is Mr. Hobson.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Linda, and I'd like to thank you very much. You did a nice thing. It's an interesting kiss.
She gets on the bus.
Kiss your wife like that?
I'm not married.
She lets the bus go.
Keep smiling. 688-5549. Don't expect big things on the first day.
Yes, it's been a distinct pleasure meeting you. Arthur, we really must be going. Thank you for a memorable afternoon. Usually one must go to a bowling alley to meet a woman of your stature.
Wouldn't it be funny if he called me?
Yes. Arthur, I see no reason for prolonging this conversation. Unless you're planning to knock over a fruit stand later in the evening. Good luck in prison.
Who's the tie for?
A guy. Look how he stopped smiling. My father. It's his birthday.
What are you doing tomorrow night?
I don't know. Oh, I have plans for tomorrow night. What should I wear?
Seal something casual.
I like him.
Likewise, I'm sure.
I'll have Bitterman drive you home. Hobson and I've got some shopping to do.
He opens the car door.
Oh, no, that's... You don't have to do that. Bitterman doesn't have to take me. Hi, Bitterman. You know, I really hardly ever take the bus, ever.
Right.
But it's just so hard to get a cab.
Of course.
I'm sure we know a lot of the same people.
Get in.
Right.
She gets in the back of the Rolls Royce.
Tell Bitterman where to take you. And make sure you give him your address and your phone number.
Hey.
Take care of it, Bitterman.
Linda waves out of the window.
Good afternoon.
As Bitterman drives up to some red brick apartment buildings, some kids run alongside the Rolls.
They'd never seen a car before.
Hey, lady, why'd you get in the car?
Could you children please allow us our privacy? Please?
Bitterman?
Yes, ma'am.
Could I just sit here until one of my neighbors walks by? I mean, I just want someone I know to see me get out of this.
I understand.
Oh, here comes Mrs. Nesbitt. This should kill her.
Well, don't touch the door. I'll do it. Mrs. Nesbitt deserves the entire treatment.
Right. Hurry up.
As he helps her out, Mrs. Nesbitt stands staring.
Ah! Oh. Thank you, Bitterman. Why, hello, Mrs. Nesbitt.
Will that be all, madam?
I think so. Have a nice evening, Mrs. Nesbitt.
Mrs. Nesbitt's bemused. Wearing trousers and vest, Linda's dad shakes a gift box.
Could be a big tie.
It is a tie.
And guessing would be out of the question.
He opens it.
It is a tie.
Surprise!
I love it.
Oh.
It goes with everything I own. I hope you like it. If I don't get a job soon, you may get it back on your birthday.
Dad. Shut up.
A funny thing happened to me today.
Yeah?
Do you know why girls marry so badly?
Is this a joke? Are these Polish girls?
No. The reason is there are so many girls and so few princes.
You met a prince?
Not met a nice guy, but with my help he could become a prince.
Who is he?
Just a guy.
What does he do?
Nothing.
Another beauty. How does he make a living?
Look, I have to make dinner.
I take it this bum will be calling you.
Dad, he's a millionaire.
You have my permission to marry him.
A florist's.
Roses. Yellow.
Right.
She'll drop dead. She'll love them.
Right. Yellow roses, 2,000. I think something else would look nice, too.
Red roses, 50 yellows.
Right.
She won't know what hit her. You'd be aces there. You're a nice boy.
2,000 red, okay? Do you know what happened?
No, I don't.
Yesterday, I met her outside Bergdorf's.
Good.
And I can't stop thinking about her. Are you married?
Once. She's alive.
Well, what's that?
Yucca plant.
I'll take it.
How many?
4.
Where were you when I was selling cars?
How did you know when you fell in love? I mean, how does anybody know?
I was on a train.
Oh, yeah.
It came from Washington and went to New York.
What's that?
Fern. You need 5.
Right.
A girl got on the train. Skinny. She gave me a smile. By Baltimore, I was a dead duck.
God. Did you whistle a lot? I mean, I found I whistled.
I whistled.
Did you feel funny? I mean, I feel funny.
No. You may have a cold.
Yeah. Listen, you send all this and anything else you can think of to this address. And, send 2,000 roses to your wife, the skinny one on the train. Here, keep the change.
You're the rich one? The one who drinks?
Arthur nods.
How does it feel to have all that money?
Feels great.
Smiling, Arthur goes.
A dumb question.
A restaurant.
What do you do? I've never asked you.
I'm an actress. I mean, I'm studying to be one.
Yeah, great.
But right now I'm working as a waitress. A lot of talented girls do that.
Yeah. What's it like being a waitress?
Well, it's fun. I mean, you know,
A band played right next to them.
This guy came in and pulled out.
What?
A guy came in?
What?
A guy came into the diner and he pulled out.
Pulled out a gun!
Oh, God.
At a fun fair rifle range, Arthur shoots at an animatronic bear.
Hey, when do I get a turn?
Can't you see I'm going for a new world record? After only 12 games, I have 80 coupons.
I knew it would be different spending an evening with a millionaire.
He shoots and the bear straightens up.
Ha! 2 more, and I'm 20 for 20. That's another 35 coupons. Could we have a little quiet here?
Nuts.
He shoots at the bear, and an LED display reads 19.
Look at him with his gun. Are you cute?
You got a miss.
19.
For 19, you get 15 coupons.
Ha! Thank you. We really have to go now.
Sorry.
An old guy eyes them suspiciously.
Space invaders!
Holy God!
At the prize counter.
What do you want, the orange one?
Yeah.
Okay. Enjoy it.
Now take care of it.
Take care of it? I already named it.
What?
Well, I named it after my grandmother on my mother's side. Arthur.
He smiles and she pats his cheek. Arthur drives them through town in a convertible.
Here's a rose. I stole it from the restaurant.
Thank you.
I've never taken care of anyone. Everyone's always taken care of me. But if you got sick or anything, I'd take care of you.
Well, I'll get sick.
Day. Arthur drives up to an apartment building. In an elegant living room, he watches his elderly grandmother, Martha, take the brown wrapping off a painting.
This Vermeer just arrived today. It's called Woman Admiring Pearls. The dealer jerked me around on the price a little. But what the hell? We live once.
Wringing his hand, Arthur paces.
Martha.
What's the matter, Arthur?
I can't marry Susan Johnson.
Really?
I met this girl.
Peanuts!
A maid brings a bowl of peanuts in.
Isn't my grandson handsome, Harriet?
Yes.
Thank you, Harriet. Arthur, is it wonderful to be promiscuous?
Your age, Martha, it might just be dangerous.
Who is she, this one you met?
I don't know. She lives in Queens. She's nobody. But there's something about her, Martha.
Martha takes off her glasses and frowns.
Arthur. Make no mistakes. You are too old to be poor. You don't know how. We are ruthless people. Don't screw with us.
She hugs him.
Arthur, I love you. But if you don't marry Susan, I will cut you off without a cent.
Arthur frowns incredulously.
You're a scary old broad, Martha.
Yes. And you are a delightful child. Marry Susan and cheat with the nobody from Queens.
Linda's dad, Ralph, sits at the dining table playing patience. Linda, wearing a blue waitressing dress, is doing the dishes. She answers the phone.
Yeah.
Hello, Linda.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you? I got off work early. Listen, do you like lasagna?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Linda. I know this is last minute, but something came up. I can't make it tonight. I'm sorry.
Fine, no problem. What?
Linda,
listen. The truth is, I'm getting engaged tonight. The easiest thing in the world would be to lie to you, but I like you and I...
Look, no sweat.
Linda.
We had some laughs.
Linda,
come on.
I wanted to tell you the other night, but I just...
Don't worry about it. I have to go, okay? Bye.
Arthur hangs up. He sits on his bed. Ralph sits weeping.
No!
Would you like a beer? I'll get you a beer, okay?
I'll be all right, sweetheart. I just have to be alone for a minute. Oh, God, I can't bear it. Oh.
Coming.
Bitterman walks into Arthur's bedroom.
Shall I get the car, Mr. Bach?
No, thanks, Peter. Tonight I'll drive myself. Often does a young man get engaged? Where's Mr. Hobson?
Mr. Hobson was tired, sir. He's resting.
He's been tired quite a bit lately, Bitterman.
Oh, I'm sure he's fine, sir.
Bitterman goes. Arthur goes to see Hobson, who sits up in bed holding a book. He flinches.
Will you cut it out?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't mean to tell you, but I've got this tumour in my head. Did the lights go off?
Hobson, just talk to me, okay?
What, with the tumour in my head? Listen, Arthur.
He reaches out and takes Arthur's hand.
There are three books.
This is important.
Mm-hmm.
Take them back to the library.
Hobson feigns death.
Oh, God, Hobson, please. Don't die anymore. It's getting very boring.
I told you I only got a cold. Now go and get engaged.
I just told Linda I was getting engaged.
I don't know why. A little tart like that could save you a fortune in prostitutes.
Listen, old man. Don't ever talk about her that way again. She's the best person I know. God damn it, why are you such a snob?
Arthur marches out of Hobson's room. Hobson sits up, concerned. Arthur comes back in. He raises his eyebrows and stands at the foot of the bed.
Hobson, I raised my voice to you. I've never done that before.
That's quite all right. You know, you may be growing up. And I'm sorry for what I said about Linda.
Do you want anything?
I want to be younger.
Sorry. It's your job to be older.
Hobson nods and they both smile. Arthur goes. Wearing a dark suit, Arthur drives along a freeway in his red convertible. Manhattan's high-rise skyline rises up in the distance. He swigs from a bottle of booze in a brown paper bag as he drives. He passes under a sign, East 34th Street, Midtown, Right Lane. Arthur keeps swigging booze as he drives down a slip road. The Hudson River stretches out to his right. Arthur drives through countryside. He stops near a mansion house and drinks more booze. Arthur corks his bottle and drives on up to the mansion house. A grey-haired butler walks at a snail's pace up to the front door of the mansion house.
Good evening, Mr. Barth.
Good evening, Mr. Butler. I'm here to get engaged.
Won't you come in, sir?
Yes, I'm... How are you?
To a suit of armour.
Susan, you get down here this minute.
Miss Susan is expecting you.
Yes.
She's dressing. I will inform her that you're here.
Tell her that Chief Inspector Flanagan from Homicide is here. That should get her down in a hurry. Nothing. Offer to take my coat.
You don't have a coat.
Well, offer to take my tie. It's a little joke. Listen, take the rest of the week off. You're obviously under a lot of tension.
Would you care to wait in the library?
Yes, I would. The bathroom is out of the question. That's another little joke.
Follow me, please.
What? I'm a little nervous. I'm getting engaged.
You may wait in here.
Thank you.
Is there anything you care for while you wait?
Do you have today's Pravda? I like to keep up with Russia.
No.
Then fill a glass with scotch. Are you sure you want to be a nightclub comic?
In a reception room, the butler fixes a scotch with ice. Arthur walks over to a telephone and picks it up.
Marty, he's pouring a drink. I have to get back to you. This is Marty. If you're going to be like that, let's call the whole thing off.
Thank you. God, these people. Thank you. I'm glad we had this time together. You're a funny guy. Oh, yeah, you have that problem too? It's a fist.
Arthur imitates the butler's bow. The butler goes and Arthur drinks. He looks up at a moose head hanging on the wood-panelled wall.
This must be awfully embarrassing for you.
Arthur has another drink. A balding man wearing buff-coloured trousers and jacket and a blue shirt comes in. Arthur looks at him woozily.
Hello, Arthur.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
I haven't seen much of you lately.
Well, the reason you haven't seen much of me is because I normally pick Susan up at her apartment in town, and you live here. Want a drink?
I never drink.
Oh.
And no one in my family ever drinks.
That's great. You probably never run out of ice your whole life.
I don't drink because drinking affects your decision-making.
You may be right. I can't decide. It's just a little humour. Where's the rest of this moose?
Arthur, I think it's time we got to know one another.
I do too. That's why I had you come over today. This is a tough room. I don't have to tell you that. You must have hated this moose.
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
Arthur looks between the moose and Mr. Johnson.
Right.
Arthur. You know, I didn't inherit money like you did. I started with nothing. And yet, I was a millionaire by the time I was 18. Anyone stood in my way, they got hurt.
Arthur eyes the moose gravely.
When I was 11 years old, I killed a man.
When you're 11, you probably don't even know there's a law against that. Is Susan here?
I knew what I was doing. We were poor. He came into our house to steal our food.
Well, he was asking for it.
I took a knife and I killed him in the kitchen.
Arthur picks up ice with tongs and drops it.
You, probably ate out that night. I mean, with that man lying in your kitchen.
You seem to find humour in everything.
Yeah, sorry.
Arthur.
What?
Do you know what I consider to be my most precious possession?
No.
My daughter. She is my gold. She is my treasure.
She's very nice.
And I protect what's mine. And I do it in an ugly way.
He slams the lid on the ice bucket.
I'm from the gutter.
Oh, I understand. The gutter. You seem upset.
Now, Susan loves you. And I want you to make her happy.
You can count on...
I insist on you making her happy.
Listen. Well, what happens... I mean, this is just hypothetical. If I don't make her happy, which is out of the question, I swear she'll be happy. But let's just say I'll make her... cranky. For cranky, I guess you'd probably just break my ankles. Something.
You'll make her happy. I don't like your drinking.
Oh.
It makes you unreasonable.
He takes Arthur's drink.
I want you to go to work. Now, your father and I talked about it. I want you to work for me.
This is it? She's not happy already?
Now, Arthur, Susan loves you. So I love you. You'll find me a friend.
Arthur, don't you get it? You can get drunk. You can throw up. You can forget to call me for months. You can't lose with me. I know you too well. And I'm much stronger than you are. I know how alone you are. I hate how alone you are. I've cried because you're so alone. Don't be afraid, Arthur. You're never going to be alone again.
Waiter? I have another one. You want another fish?
Don't drink anymore.
This is what I am. Everyone who drinks is not a poet. Some of us drink because we're not poets.
He drinks.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
You have to be a real big woman.
Arthur, will you take my hand?
That would leave you with one. Sorry, here's the hand.
He holds her hand.
I love you, Arthur.
Good. I have to talk to the waiter now. My doctor has advised me that I must drink 10 of these an hour.
I understand, Mr. Barr.
Arthur sips a big whiskey. Pretty, demure Susan smiles benignly. Arthur takes a ring box from his pocket, puts it on the table, and opens it, revealing the sparkling diamond engagement ring. He flops back in his chair and points at the ring.
This is the ring my grandfather gave to my grandmother. Then he died, and subsequently she gave it to me.
I'll always love you, Arthur.
It's a great ring, isn't it?
It's a beautiful ring. It's a magical night.
She wipes away a tear with a napkin.
Do you have any objection to naming a child Vladimir? Even a girl?
Ask me, Arthur.
Will you marry me, Susan? Take the weekend if you want.
Yes.
Congratulations.
She grasps his hand and shakes it.
Do you mind if I took you home, Arthur? I've got a terrible headache. I'm sorry.
Arthur weaves along a dark suburban street in his convertible. He parks crookedly, half on the pavement. Holding a glass of scotch, he gets out near Linda's apartment.
Linda! Linda!
He has a drink and balances the glass on the curved front wing of his car. He turns and peers at the apartment building. He walks up to the front door.
This must be the building. Linda!
He walks into the hall and stumbles into a pram.
Oh! Goochie, goochie, goochie.
He goes up to a grimy front door.
Linda! Linda! I hope it's not late. Who am I talking to? Oh, it's me. Linda!
What are you doing?
Very sorry to disturb you, madam. I was looking for Linda. I hope this is the wrong house. No offence.
My husband has a gun!
I'm sure he has, madam. No, for all I know, he shot it while you scream.
Curry!
No,
come over here! This man wants to know where Linda lives!
She lives at 14133, apartment A, next door.
Thank you for...
You tell a total stranger that when you don't even know who he is!
He looks okay.
Right, Perk, go here. She's terrible. Did she always hit you like that?
Yeah, what can I do?
Listen,
mind your own business!
Perry, for God's sake, she's gonna kill you. Get in there, Perry! Give her a shot, Jesus Christ! It's your good chance! Oh, God! It's horrible. Horrible! Horrible! You shouldn't hear this.
He drapes a blanket over the empty pram as he leaves.
Oh, God.
Arthur stumbles as he goes to get his drink.
Oh, next. Perry, a dead man.
He drinks and steadies himself on the car, then walks towards a hedge.
Pardon me. Oh, you're a hedge.
Outside Linda's apartment.
Oh. You must be Linda's father.
Yeah, it's kind of late. Although I wasn't sleeping myself, Arthur.
Me.
Oh, nice to meet you, Arthur.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Linda. Can I come in? Don't you hate Perry's wife?
Wait a minute.
Linda's in her pyjamas. Arthur knocks post off a shelf.
Linda, I've missed you. Oh. Sorry, Linda, sorry. Really. It happens.
Arthur and Linda kneel down and pick up the post. She glares at him.
What the hell is the matter with you? Nobody knocks on a door at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're so drunk you can hardly stand up. And you're engaged.
Arthur picks up two pieces of clear plastic, which he pushes together. He fiddles with them drunkenly, and Linda looks up at her father. Arthur looks up at him too, and he smiles politely. Arthur continues to try and work out how the two bits of plastic go together. He picks up a third, smaller piece, and looks even more confused. He presses the pieces together, unsuccessfully.
This is a goner.
He puts them down.
I'm going to sleep.
Linda's dad listens outside her bedroom door.
You come here at 3 o'clock in the morning to say goodbye?
I have to get up and go to work in the morning. Stop kidding around.
Will you stop kissing me?
Linda, I'm sure you're not going to want to be a waitress for the rest of your life.
I am studying to be an actress.
You're telling me.
Well, I am.
No.
He takes an envelope from his pocket.
This is for you, your father, and your acting career. Oh, please take it and I'll go. Uh-huh.
She opens the envelope, pulls out a check, and smiles.
$100,000.
Her dad puts his hands to his mouth. Linda hands it back.
We don't need your money.
Linda, it'll help you.
Yeah, look what it's done for you. Now tell your story walking before I call a cop. Get out of here!
Arthur walks away.
Closet.
Arthur emerges from amongst some clothes.
Oh, no.
He leaves. Arthur speeds round a racetrack alone in a modified Porsche 924. He pulls up by Hobson and the track manager, who are leaning against a trailer.
Want to take it for a spin, Hobson?
No, thank you, Arthur.
Well, Mr. Buck, be sure you call me anytime you need the track, huh?
Okay.
Take it easy. Thank you.
Arthur climbs out of the car wearing a white jumpsuit and crash helmet.
Hobson, do you know how miserable I am?
You're miserable. I've got all this and I'm on a salary.
Arthur swigs from a silver hip flask.
Do you know the worst part? The worst part of being me?
I should imagine your breath.
Let me be unhappy, will you? You know, Hobson, I could love somebody. I never got to love anybody. What do I have to live for? I mean, I'm a failure at everything I do. I'm just in everyone's way.
Would you remove your helmet, please?
Why?
Please.
Arthur removes his helmet and Hobson takes it.
Thank you. Now your goggles.
Why?
Please.
Hobson stuffs them inside the helmet.
Thank you.
He slaps Arthur round the face.
You're a man who has everything, haven't you? But that's not enough. You feel unloved, Arthur. Welcome to the world. Everyone is unloved. Now stop feeling sorry for yourself, and incidentally, I love you. Mary, Susan, Arthur. Poor drunks do not find love, Arthur. Poor drunks have very few teeth. They urinate outdoors. They freeze to death in summer. I can't bear to think of you that way.
I need Linda, Hobson.
I see. Well, perhaps fate will lend a hand, Arthur. One never knows.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
May I come in? If you and your undershirt would walk 2 paces backwards, I could enter this dwelling.
Linda's dad, Ralph, lets Hobson pass. Hobson walks in holding a large, wrapped, flat box, which he puts down. He looks around the small apartment with its floral wallpaper and jumble of cheap furniture. Hobson wears an off-white suit, white shirt, black tie and a trilby. His eyes rove disdainfully.
How revolting.
Linda comes out of her room smiling.
Well, look who's here. The British Tonto. How are you? How's Arthur?
You know, ever since I met that Arthur, I just like them. You know, we have to make sure that these two wonderful kids stay together.
Who is this person?
He's my father.
Yes. And I'd like to say that...
Try not to speak. Would you get me a cup of tea? I wish to speak to Linda.
Oh, sure.
Having put a shirt on, Ralph obeys.
There is an engagement party tonight at Arthur's father's house in Southampton. Here is the address. Perhaps you should attend.
Why, are all the ones he passed up coming?
Young woman, this is a tie you cannot steal. This is a tie I'm afraid you're going to have to work for.
Are you inviting me to Arthur's engagement party?
This is not an invitation. However, if there is one thing that old gentlemen can still do, they can still spot young gentlemen in love. Please go to the party.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
She sits him down.
Does Arthur know you're here?
No, Arthur is far too fine a person to be involved in something as devious as this.
You really look out for him, don't you?
Yes, and it is a job that I recommend highly. I have something for you.
For me?
He gets the box, which is wrapped in white paper, and brings it over.
What is it?
If I were to tell you, it would spoil the surprise, wouldn't it? Don't open it.
And your tea?
I despise tea. Now, would you go to the bathroom and bring me 2 aspirin? You'll find them on the top shelf to the left, behind the untouched shaving cream.
A smile creeps across Linda's pretty face. Ralph does as he's told, and Hobson goes to pick up his hat.
That sounds bad. Have you seen a doctor?
Yes. And he has seen me.
He puts his hat on, and Linda puts the box down.
You know, I think Arthur has a very good friend. May I kiss you on the cheek?
Is it something you feel strongly about?
Yes.
Linda smiles. She walks up and pecks Hobson on the cheek.
Oh, what about your aspirins?
The aspirins are for you, my dear.
He leaves. At Arthur's family mansion, the engagement party is in full swing. People dance around in the spacious living room. Waitresses serve canapés. A suited little boy sprays breath freshener in his mouth and goes up to a girl in a pink dress who's dancing. Wearing a black dress and with her grey hair tied up, Martha dances with Arthur. Mr. Johnson wears black trousers, white shirt, a bow tie and a tartan jacket. He stands at the side watching with another man. Susan dances with Arthur's father, Stanford. Several cars are parked outside the mansion. A Porsche drives up, followed by a yellow taxi cab. The taxi stops and a man opens the door. Linda gets out. She wears a pink wrap over a frilly pink blouse and a black skirt and belt. She stops in her tracks and looks up at the enormous house, bedazzled. At the party, a band plays. People dance at one end of the room and sit around on couches at the other. Linda walks in and surveys the scene, nervously clutching her purse. A guy sitting in an armchair looks up at her.
Hello.
Good evening.
She puts a cigarette in her mouth. Arthur takes a glass of champagne from a tray, then grabs the tray and looks at the waiter.
God knows when I'll see you again.
Arthur, will you play something for us?
No.
Arthur sits at a white grand piano. The guy stands and lights Linda's cigarette.
Thank you.
Don't you hate these things?
I despise them.
Actually, seriously, songs come and go, but I love the classics, and I hope you'll enjoy this one.
You'd better watch out. You'd better not cry.
Oh, are you good friends with Arthur?
For ages. I'm so pleased he finally found the right woman. Where is she?
She's over there. Isn't she just beautiful?
Of course she is. Why would Arthur marry a dog?
Pardon?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
How does it feel to be getting married, Arthur?
Blue moon. You saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart, without a love of my
Thanks a lot. Heart. That's flattering.
If I knew you, Susan, like I knew Susan. Oh.
He sees Linda.
I need a drink.
He gets up from the piano. Linda stands facing the guy.
Tell me your entire name, Dad.
Preston Langley.
Oh, Preston. Really? I mean, if you don't remember when we met, I mean, honestly. Put your arm around me, Preston.
Of course.
Arthur walks up looking bemused.
Linda, you're here.
So true. Arthur, join us.
She reaches out and he clutches her hand.
Congratulations. Father sends his regards.
Does he?
Yes, he does. Wednesday night may be difficult for me.
What? You're looking wonderful, my dear.
Arthur, thank you.
Wednesday? It's difficult for her that night, Preston. Isn't that the night you usually attend the ballet, darling, with your father?
Yes.
Actually, I feel foolish, but I don't recall.
Preston, would you be divine and get me a gin and tonic?
Scotch for me, Preston.
You wait here for me?
If it takes forever.
Lanky Preston smiles and goes. Susan looks over at Arthur, who stands next to Linda in front of a fireplace.
What are you doing here? And why are you talking like that?
Arthur waves to someone. Linda waves too.
I was in the neighborhood. It took me 2 buses, 3 cabs, and a train to get into the neighborhood, but what the hell? Yeah. Nice place. I like a living room you can land a plane in.
There's more of it. You like a tour?
I've seen bedrooms. You'll be a lovely person.
You make me happy.
Her name is Linda Marola. She's the one Arthur saw the other night. She lives in Queens.
Mr. Johnson, Martha and Stanford watch Arthur walk off with Linda. They stroll through the stable block arm in arm. Arthur kisses Linda. A horse leans its head out of its stall.
Mario, please.
Listen, don't worry. I talked to the warden. We're going to get you out of here.
When I was a kid, I used to open all their stalls and let them run out.
Listen, you should have been there the day I freed my goldfish.
Come over here. I want you two to meet. Pancho. Pancho. This is Linda. I told you about her. Do you remember?
It must have been something growing up with all of us.
Oh, I was away at boarding school most of the time. I sticked out of 10 prep schools. Bad kid.
You weren't. I just wanted to go home. Bad kids don't grow up as nice as you are. Why do you think Pancho loves you?
Well, thank you.
He pretends to brush Linda.
This is kind of like prom night, isn't it? I mean, we're all dressed up. Have you ever been in love?
No. You?
But when I was little, I thought the moon followed me.
What?
Well, I would walk, and I thought that the moon went any place that I did.
Ah, that's great.
No, I know it's silly, but I was only 8 years old. I thought it meant that something special was going to happen to me someday. So I've been waiting. Every day I've been doing my hair and washing my face.
Can I kiss you?
Please.
He slowly walks towards Linda, then steps past her and kisses Pancho the horse on the nose.
I was talking to you.
What? Why is it you can make me laugh at the saddest times of my whole life? Why is that?
I'm funny, that's why. I'm funny.
Yeah, that's it. You're going to marry Susan, aren't
you? Yeah.
I'm still glad I came here. Made a fool out of myself. I wish we had made love.
Yeah.
I would give anything to see you in the morning.
I have to marry Susan. If I don't, my family will cut me off. It's almost $1 billion.
Oh. One of the horses just fainted.
He reaches and she pushes him away.
Look, this is ridiculous, Arthur.
You got canned fare back to the city. I don't like to take a train at night.
Look, when Susan and I get married, I can set you up in an apartment and we can get it. Are you cute?
As she touches his chin, Susan switches on a light and walks up, smiling.
I thought I'd find you here. He just loves that smelly old horse. Have we met?
I don't think you have. Linda Morello, this is Susan Johnson, my fiancée.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Of course.
I'd say that if I were you. No. We might as well tell her, Arthur.
You tell her.
Susan smiles, bemused.
My husband, Harold, went to prep school with Arthur. Harold lost a fortune gambling. He's sick. He's a sick man. But he's my husband. I'm not one of your guests here tonight. I came here for one reason only. I came here to beg Arthur to lend us some money. One of my kids, my youngest, my baby, needs an operation. Harold hasn't kept up the insurance policy. I don't know where to turn. Do I have to go on with this?
No, of course not. Of course not.
Arthur, I wasn't spying on you.
I know.
There's an urgent phone call for you from Bitterman.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Say hello to Harold.
At the hospital, Arthur stands in a corridor with Bitterman. A doctor walks past. Arthur looks at Bitterman.
You all right, Bitterman?
Yes, sir. Would you like me to get you some scotch, sir?
No, thanks. We'll get through this together.
Yes, sir.
Bitterman shifts on his feet and holds his hands behind his back.
It's very hard. I'm glad to have you here, sir.
Bitterman, do me a favor.
Yes, sir.
Go back to the house. Phone my father, Mr. Johnson, and Miss Susan, and tell them what's happened. The wedding will have to wait. And bring me back some clothes here.
Yes, sir.
In a private room, Hobson sits up in bed. Arthur walks in and smiles. There's a pile of presents on the bed next to Hobson.
Okay, let's open the presents.
I'm sorry, Arthur.
For what?
For leaving you.
You're not leaving anyone.
Arthur unwraps a basketball and hands it to Hobson.
Why, it's a basketball.
Yeah, well, what the hell? I knew you didn't have one.
Yes. If I feel the urge to dribble, I can always call the nurse.
I'll put this over here.
Arthur unwraps a toy train.
You purchased a choo-choo?
Look, the wheels go round.
He puts it on the bed table.
I'm very pleased.
Do you remember? Do you remember when you used to play hide-and-seek with me? I used to hide and you never found me.
Did you know I never looked?
Come on.
Well, I looked a little.
Cowboy hats.
One for you, one for me. Put it on.
A black hat.
I don't wish to put it on.
Arthur puts on his grey cowboy hat.
I'll put it on.
Hobson puts the black cowboy hat on his head and carefully tilts it.
If I begin to die, please take this off my head. This is not the way I wish to be remembered.
Aren't they great?
Arthur unwraps another box.
Got guns and holsters too. Look. Yes! Just in town for supplies, partner.
He twirls his toy gun.
Arthur, I'm frightened.
Arthur gives Hobson the basketball and studies him.
I know you're frightened. And I'm going to take care of you.
He switches the toy train on and its wheels go round. An orderly peers round a corner, then wheels a trolley along a corridor. On the trolley are trays of food covered in towels, a jug of orange juice, a glass of strawberries and a rose in a vase. He goes into Hobson's room, which has been transformed. Hobson lies asleep in his own four-poster bed. He's surrounded by his furniture. Arthur lies in the bed next to Hobson.
I can.
Arthur gets out of bed and switches on Hobson's bedside light. He takes a tray from Ken.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Mr. Bach, you look terrible. You haven't slept in a week.
We had a bad night. He was up.
I got the kippers and eggs.
Great.
I'd get fired.
No, you won't.
Arthur pays him.
Listen, for lunch, I want the trout almondine from Lutez. Tell Henri it's for me.
He shouldn't be eating this stuff.
I don't want his last meal to be jello. Thanks very much. I'll see you later.
Ken goes and Hobson wakes.
Oh, look who's up. Well now, we have eggs, we have kippers. We have croissant, we have a yellow rose. We have strawberries, and we have blueberry cakes, we have orange juice, and we have great coffee. Right, now a table for one, sir. Your regular.
He lays a napkin on Hobson's chest.
You know, Arthur, I'm very glad you're here.
I want you to eat this. Do you know what this is costing me? I've got chefs working at 6 a.m. all over the town.
Arthur, you look awful.
That's just because you've never seen me sober. Now, come on, eat. Come on. You used to make me eat.
Arthur.
What?
It's not so bad. You don't need to be so frightened about it.
What?
Dying. Seems natural. Even comforting now.
You even teaching me how to die?
I'm through teaching you anything, Arthur. You've grown up.
Hobson gives the napkin to Arthur, and he puts it aside.
Arthur?
What?
You can do anything with your life that you want to.
What do you mean?
Figure it out. Have you seen Linda Marola lately?
Linda Marola? Why would you ask about her?
I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm dying.
Arthur stares at Hobson, then looks at the bedside table.
You want me to read you some Shakespeare? Hamlet was in big trouble when we left off.
No.
Hobson takes the book, closes it, and puts it to one side.
Arthur. You're a good son.
The tall grey facade of Arthur's apartment building. Arthur sits in Hobson's room. The bed is empty. He moves a chess piece on a board and stares into space thoughtfully. He gets up and walks out. Wearing jeans and a white shirt, Arthur locks the bedroom door. His brow is pinched and he looks troubled. He walks off.
You take your average kid today, friend. He don't want to go in the army.
Yeah, what does he care, though?
But the communists, they go in the army.
If only we had some communists here. No.
No.
No, no, no.
While our kids are dancing, their kids are learning how to fight. Everybody's dancing here.
You're right, you're right. It's not worth talking about. Let me buy you another drink.
Right. What do you do?
I'm a dance instructor.
Arthur's in a bar.
Oh, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Honest to God, I'm a dentist.
I hate dentists.
We're not bad guys. It's not easy, you know. There's teeth and gums and blood.
Oh, my God.
I have to get Luke just to walk into my office. Bartender, we would like 2 more, please.
Haven't you had enough?
I want more than enough.
How come you get all this money for all these drinks?
I saved my money. I haven't had a drink in a month.
Oh, my God.
Well, you see, my father died. So I stayed sober. One night at the hospital, he fell asleep. I was watching him. And then he just kept on sleeping. And I was all alone.
That's terrible.
Ah, listen. I was lucky to know him at all. Are you somebody's father?
No, I'm a drunk.
Oh, yeah.
I have a brother who moved to New Jersey.
I'm getting married soon.
Great.
I don't love her.
Oh, no.
I don't love her.
Well, don't make a scene.
No, I'm sorry, but there's this other girl. She steals ties.
Uh-huh.
And gives them to her father. She's funny.
Uh-huh.
I want her. I want her!
No. Bitterman comes in.
Sorry.
Sir, your wedding is within less than 5 hours.
Yeah, listen. Go see your brother. What? Nobody should be alone. It's awful to be alone.
Wedding guests walk up steps to a church. Mr. Johnson is with Stanford. They both wear tails.
I just want you to know, if he doesn't show up for this wedding, I'm going to kill him.
Don't worry about it, Bert. I talk to Arthur every day. Since Hobson's death, he's stopped drinking, he's anxious to work, he's become a responsible citizen. He'll be a good husband.
Thanks very much. Have a nice day.
Linda's at work.
Thanks. Where's my roll?
We're having it monogrammed. Take it easy. Hurry up with the old man's roll, huh?
She pours coffee.
Can I help you?
Do you recommend the French toast?
With all of my heart. Lady, I've got customers.
I'll have it.
Make the right decision. Miss, wait a minute. Wait.
I've waited long enough.
Arthur's in wedding gear.
Can you take the next 60 years off?
I'll have to ask.
She goes to him.
What, you want some coffee?
Where's my roll?
Wait, I'll get it.
What the hell's going on here?
She's getting your roll.
What happened?
Hobson died.
I know. He loved you very much. You know that.
Yeah. And I think I grew up. I want to marry you. Although I'm supposed to marry Susan in 20 minutes.
You know, he seems drunk, but he sounds sincere.
Ichiro.
Yeah.
Look, the money. Arthur, can you live without the money?
Well, we'll have to.
He holds his top hat to his chest.
Please marry me. I'll try to be sober, and I'll try to make you happy, although it won't be easy because I'll be poor.
We'll be poor?
Oh, we'll be poor.
Most people are poor.
Eat your roll!
Now, I have to tell Susan. Come with me.
Yeah, I gotta change.
I'll cover for you.
All right.
He goes behind the counter.
I thought last night I could have sworn the moon was following me.
It was.
They wrap their arms around each other and kiss passionately. At the church, the guests are seated. Arthur, in top hat and tails, comes in through the door at the end of the aisle. Unsteady on his feet, he wobbles as he walks up the aisle. People sitting in the pews turn and gawp at him. He walks up to a lady wearing a pale blue floppy hat.
I'm Arthur Bart, the groom.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, and to you too. I wonder, could you tell me where the wedding party is?
Right over there in that.
Oh, thank you very much. You've got a lovely...
He staggers on and frowns.
Hat. It's called a hat.
Martha and Stanford look horrified. A man holds out his hand.
Good luck, Arthur.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm Arthur Bart. Arthur Bart.
He staggers along by a pew. In a side room, bridesmaids help Susan get ready. She wears a white dress with a long veil.
Did you forget your daughter?
Arthur comes in smiling.
Hi. Sorry I'm late.
Arthur.
Oh, Susan. Susan, just the one I wanted to talk to. Nice dress.
I did the ceremony.
Yeah,
dress.
He looks round.
Could we just talk for a moment away from all these people?
Of course.
They walk away.
I don't love you.
It's right in that room over there.
Ah, thank you. Oh, your hair is lovely.
I've heard.
Thanks. You're drunk?
I don't know.
You're frightened?
I don't know. I'm both of those. I know, but I'm in love.
What do you
mean? I'm in love.
What?
I'm in love with another woman. Susan, the one innocent person in all of this has been you. I'm really sorry.
Shut up, Arthur, just shut up! Daddy!
No.
Bert strides in.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Johnson.
Linda makes her way towards the room. Linda smiles at a guest.
You must be nervous. I think it's nervous sometimes.
Bert glares.
Here's your ring, Arthur. I hope you're happy.
A stand-up son, I want to kill you with my bands.
Oh, hi, Linda. I think you know everyone. This is Susan's father.
Oh, my God, Arthur, you're really hurt.
Arthur's sprawled on the floor.
Got him right where I want him.
Arthur's face is cut. Linda helps him up and glares at Bert.
You animals! Look, it's over. He doesn't love your daughter. I'm sorry, it happens. He loves me.
What about Harold?
Harold? Oh, you poor thing.
No, stand aside.
Bert pulls Arthur up by his lapels, clenches his fist, and punches him hard in the face.
Arthur!
Arthur flies back over a table. Stanford gets out of his seat, as does Martha. Susan goes to her father.
Oh, my God.
Daddy! Daddy, he's not worth it. Just sit up. Can you move like
that? No.
Everybody out! Out all of you!
Oh, God.
Arthur lies in Linda's arms. Bert grasps a long, pointed cheese knife.
It's like a knife out of the cheese. You think you want some cheese?
No, I think we're going to die. I want to die.
Bert approaches Arthur.
What the hell is going on?
Stop that this instant.
Martha slaps Bert's cheek and he freezes, staring at her. In church, the organist continues to play. Arthur appears near the altar and staggers over to the priest. Arthur's shirt is open and his tie hangs loose. His face is cut and grazed. He has a word with the priest, shakes his hand, and points for him to go to one side. Arthur faces the packed church, then turns and makes a half-hearted attempt to adjust his tie. He pulls an unhooked brace and it flicks his face. He tucks it into his jacket, then turns to the people.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. As you probably have surmised by now, there will be no wedding. The bride has had second thoughts and has decided not to marry me. Most of you know me. Can you blame her? I won't be seeing most of you anymore because I'm going to be, poor.
He smiles.
I'll miss you. And, now that there's a good chance I should go to the hospital.
He collapses. Later, guests have left. Linda sits on the floor with Arthur, dabbing his wounds with a cloth.
Okay, now this has some iodine on it, so it might hurt a little.
And the house, I hate it, stop it! Why did you do that?
Because I hate an infection!
See, if you'd have just let me get...
Ow!
He recoils and his face crumples. Linda shakes with mirth. Arthur touches his wounds.
Look, as long as we're here...
Martha's watching.
Do you promise to love me and obey me and be a good boy?
I do. And do you promise never to put that stuff on my face again?
I do.
Oh, God. We're going to be great.
Yeah.
We're going to be like one of those poor couples on the subway who hold hands. How much is the subway?
60 cents. But if you spit, it's a $500 fine.
Then I won't spit.
Good. None of the best people do.
I'll get a job. That's what I'll do. I'll get a job. Uh-huh. I'll work. God, this is going to be great.
Good. Look how excited he is.
I'll come home from work. We'll be ironing. We'll eat some cheap, disgusting food.
Stop!
I think we're in trouble.
That is out of the question. There has never been such a thing as a working class back. And there never will be.
Martha and Linda help Arthur walk out to the Rolls Royce.
Still. Arthur, I've reached the decision. The Bach family must endure, and not on a subway. Arthur, your children will be senators, ambassadors, perhaps even a president. Arthur, you have your $750 million.
Okay.
Bitterman stands watching. Arthur smiles.
I don't know, Martha.
You don't know?
Money has screwed me up my whole life.
I know.
I've always been rich and I've never been happy.
Yeah, well, I've always been poor and I've usually been happy.
Rubbish. I've always been rich and I've always been happy.
Would you make me a tuna fish sandwich?
Yes.
I'm gonna have a tuna fish sandwich, Martha.
Step. Arthur! Arthur! I demand that you take this money. I want a decision and I want it now.
I can't tell you what a lousy wedding that was, Bitterman.
Arthur shakes his hand.
Bitterman, goodbye. Thank you.
I'm going.
Goodbye, sir. It was a pleasure working for you. Chauffeurs rarely get to land. Thank you.
Goodbye,
Billy.
Goodbye.
Arthur, I'm going. Open that door, Rockland.
To her chauffeur.
Ever been on a yacht?
No, is it wonderful?
It doesn't suck.
Arthur, I shall never offer you this money again. I wish you luck in your poverty.
Arthur and Linda watch Martha get into her white Rolls Royce. Arthur goes over to the car, opens the back door, and has a word with Martha. Linda stands on the pavement, watching, concerned. Arthur closes the door, and Martha's driven away. Arthur walks back to Linda.
What? What happened?
Oh, I turned her down.
Oh.
Well, she invited us for dinner, and I said, we're having a tuna fish sandwich, so I turned her down. I took the money. I mean, I'm not crazy. Bitterman,
sure.
Do you want to double your salary?
Yes, sir.
Then open that door.
Right away.
Is that money?
Where to, sir?
The park, Bitterman. Drive through the park. You know how I love the park.
Get in.
Oh, step.
The Rolls glides away. Its number plate, Arthur. ITFC audio description.
Once in your life, you find her.